This is an ABC podcast.
Hi, I'm Angela Voipierre.
And I'm Stephen Smiley, and this is The Signal.
So, supposedly, measles was eradicated in Australia in 2014.
Yeah, which is great, right? But if it's eradicated, why have there been nearly 80 infections already this year?
If someone sneezes in a room and then leaves, you could come into that room a couple of hours later and theoretically still catch the virus.
Okay, but we have a vaccine for that, so we're all going to be fine, right?
Sort of. But it's only really effective if nearly everyone's had the shot, and guess what?
We've estimated that somewhere between a quarter and a third of Americans are at least somewhat skeptical of vaccine safety.
Well, that's very high.
It's quite high.
Today on The Signal, are anti-vaxxers having a moment? And are they the reason that measles is on the rise? That's today's episode.
Okay, so I have to say, I actually didn't really know very much about measles until the last few days. And I guess I'd sort of thought before that it was kind of a scarier version of the chicken pox, which I can say from personal experience is unpleasant, but it's not, you know, fatal.
Yeah, same here. Mm. But as it turns out, measles is quite a bit worse than chicken pox.
Yeah.
In fact, it can kill you because it can lead to pneumonia, pregnancy problems, brain inflammation, and then in rare cases, brain degeneration and certain death within 7 years.
Right. So not good.
No.
And what is also not good is that there's kind of a measles spate right now. So there have been 78 cases in Australia already this year compared to 103 in the whole of last year and 74 in the whole of 2015. And overseas this year, there have been some enormous measles outbreaks in Madagascar, Ukraine, India, the Philippines, Japan, and some smaller ones right now in New Zealand and in the United States.
Right. And the latest one in the US in Rockland County in the northern suburbs of New York City led officials there to declare a state of emergency and ban anyone who hadn't been vaccinated from even going out in public.
Effective at the stroke of midnight tonight, March 27th, anyone who is under 18 years of age and is unvaccinated against the measles will be barred from public places until the declaration expires in 30 days or until they receive at least their first shot of MMR.
Okay, so we wanted to find out how effective that vaccine, MMR, is. So we caught up with Tegan Taylor, who is a health and science journalist for the ABC Science Unit.
So measles, mumps, rubella, a vaccine that protects you against those three diseases, all of which are super gnarly, and we're lucky to have that vaccine. Basically, Australian kids get two doses of the vaccine. So one's given at about 12 months old, and then you get a second dose at 1.5, which
right.
also includes varicella, which is a fancy word for chickenpox,
mm-hmm.
so to protect us against those. And so basically what it is the vaccine contains attenuated live virus. So that's a weakened form of a live virus.
Right.
And just like any other vaccine, the idea is that it is sort of priming your immune system. It gives your body a little taste of the virus so that your body can work out how to defend itself from it if it encounters it again. Mm-hmm. And two doses of MMR vaccine gives you a 99% immunity against measles.
Forever.
So it's quite effective.
For your whole life.
Yeah, it's very effective.
Okay, so it works well, and two shots means you're essentially good for the rest of your life. But MMR is the same vaccine that some people are wrongly convinced gives kids autism.
We do not need that many vaccines.
Vaccinations have an effect on some children.
If you believe the MMR vaccine contributed to cause your child's autism, please stand up and raise your hand.
There are thousands of parents who are all saying the same thing.
My grandson got 9 shots in one day, 7 of which had mercury in it, and he became autistic in a very short period of time.
Several weeks after the MMR shot, I noticed different behaviors that he didn't have before.
Just the other day, 2.5 years old, the child, a beautiful child, went to have the vaccine and came back and a week later got a tremendous fever, got very, very sick, now is autistic.
So what is the conspiracy about it? What do people think it's doing to them?
So back in 1998, there was a research paper that was published that drew a link between this vaccine and children developing autism. The research was found to be fraudulent.
Right.
Like faked.
Okay.
And there's been several times that it's been debunked since then. So
okay.
It really should be completely put to bed by now, but for some reason this rumor just persists.
So there was a paper that was what, just essentially based on made up science that suggested connection, or
It was published in a research journal.
Okay. There,
it wasn't sort of some random person who made it up, which I suppose in a way made it even more damaging because it did seem legit at the time, but it's really done vaccination it's dealt it a huge blow. Vaccination levels in Britain, mm-hmm. after the research was published, just plummeted, and they have recovered. And it's worth mentioning that actually in Australia, although there are pockets of lower vaccination levels, we've actually got really quite good levels of vaccination in Australia. So the national sort of aspirational target is 95% vaccination, because there's always going to be a small proportion of the population that can't be vaccinated. And in December last year, the average rate for five-year-olds was 94.7% vaccination. Oh. So really close to that aspirational target.
Okay, so that's definitely a positive. But as Tegan says, there are still these pockets of Australia where the vaccination rate is quite a bit lower than that. And that's at least in part because of the strength of the global anti-vaxxer movement.
Yeah, and we are going to learn more about which pockets of Australia specifically later in the app. There are two main ones, by the way. But first, we wanted to hear about the anti-vaxxer movement, which is particularly strong in the US.
Right, so we caught up with Matt Motter. He works at Yale University and is a postdoctoral fellow at the Annenberg Public Policy Center at the University of Pennsylvania.
We completed a study a year ago suggesting that people who knew the least about the causes of autism tended to think that they were more knowledgeable than medical scientists and medical experts about the causes of autism. And people who believed that were substantially more likely to hold anti-vaccine views and to oppose vaccine policy positions.
Do we know, like, have a lot of anti-vaxxers, for example, had a bad experience with the medical profession that they've ended up in this place? Or, I mean, why do people that you're saying, like, statistically actually know less about things like autism than your median person feel like they know more?
Yeah, so this is something called the Dunning-Kruger effect. In psychology, there is this tendency for people who don't know a lot about a particular subject to erroneously assume that they know more than they actually do.
Really?
This is known as this is known in psychology as meta-ignorance, or ignorance of one's own ignorance.
Right.
Now, we can't say for certain where meta-ignorance comes from with respect to vaccines.
Yeah.
You suggested that perhaps it could come from people's experiences with medical doctors. Hmm. That is all possible. And it's something that researchers like us are actively looking into. But we can't say for certain just yet why it is that people feel this way. But we do know that people do feel this way. And that to us is very interesting.
Are there particular populations, like are there particular, I don't know, like political beliefs or geographic kind of correlations between people who don't, you know, that identify people that are more likely to be anti-vaccination?
Yeah, that's a really interesting question, because while we've seen outbreaks of diseases that we thought, you know, simply weren't going to plague the United States ever again, in pockets that say tend to be more religious, such as Amish country, mm-hmm. In Pennsylvania, or that tend to be more politically liberal, such as some of the outskirts of LA in California.
Yep.
It's not necessarily the case that when we look at those feelings in the population that we find any systematic differences. We tend to find plenty of Americans who believe in who hold anti-vaccine views across education levels, across partisanship, across many other demographics. And so really, although we can try to ascribe some patterns to where disease outbreaks happen, these views tend to be held fairly widely throughout the American public. We've estimated that somewhere between a quarter and a third of Americans are at least somewhat skeptical of vaccine safety.
Well, that's very high.
It's quite high.
Yeah. And you touched before on people who are sort of politically liberal and people who are more religious than average. There is some link, although it might not be clear yet, is there?
Yeah, at least with respect to disease outbreak, we've seen outbreaks in those communities. Yeah.
Right, so that's in the US, but what about here?
Well, for that one, we went back to Tegan.
So 2016, 2017, the local government areas with the lowest rate of fully immunised five-year-olds were Perth North and the New South Wales North Coast, and both of them had like 90 to 91%. I think for measles, they say 19 out of 20 people really have to be vaccinated for you to have that herd immunity, and that's just another way of saying 95%.
Yeah. So what's going on in Perth and in the, like, what, like the Northern Rivers of New South Wales?
Oh, I don't know. It's probably a bit outside my field of expertise. But I think there's sections of the community that are maybe more wanting to live a natural life, don't necessarily want to introduce medicine into their, you know, children if they don't have to.
Yeah.
That what happens is that people making those individual decisions actually do affect the community as a whole, because we live in communities. And so that's why sort of the vaccination really depends on everyone doing their bit to stop a disease from spreading.
So if someone sort of came into Australia, for argument's sake, and they, you know, they had measles, and but they were in a population where everyone had been vaccinated, then you don't have an outbreak. You just have one person that has measles. Is that right?
And that actually has happened just in the last week or two. Measles is a notifiable disease in Australia, which means if it's diagnosed in Australia, you have to tell the health authorities about it. And there's often sort of warnings that are around. If you were in this airport on this date, you know, make sure you're up to date with your vaccinations or whatever, because there was someone who transited through at that time. And the thing that you were just talking about then is called herd immunity, which I think most people will have heard about. So basically,
oh no.
I'm sorry. But basically, it's just one of the reasons why large scale vaccination is so important, because it's not just about protecting you from catching the gnarly disease, which you don't want to get. It's also about protecting the people around you. So herd immunity, if you think of the city where you live as a big herd of cattle, mm-hmm. and every cow
feels
in
like
the
that
herd,
some days of the week. Yeah.
Every cow in this herd is immune except for a handful of them. If an infected cow comes in from somewhere else, it might not be able to infect those susceptible cows, because the disease can't travel through the community.
How contagious is measles? Like you gave before, like the example of being in an airport lounge and someone's been through the airport and they have it. I mean, is it like if you were like sit on the same chair where they sat within an hour? Like, I mean, how quickly does it transmit?
Right. So, okay. So one of the ways that we talk about how contagious diseases are is this fancy science thing called an R-naught, which is basically the number of people one person with the disease could infect if there was no pre-existing immunity. So flu, which we think of as being really contagious, has an R-naught of about 1 or 2. Ebola, which was like setting people's brains on fire, metaphorically, 2 maybe.
Okay.
Measles is up to 18.
Wow.
It's super contagious. If someone sneezes in a room and then leaves, you could come into that room a couple of hours later and theoretically still catch the virus.
Okay, so highly contagious. But at least here in Australia, with our still pretty high rates of vaccination, there have been no major outbreaks to date.
Yeah, that's right. But, you know, if vaccination rates do slip by just a little, then the consequences could be disastrous.
Yeah, so how do we make sure the vaccination rate doesn't fall?
Well, it's tricky, but the key is to convince anti-vaxxers that they've got the science wrong, which Matt Motter reckons is a lot harder than you think, unfortunately.
Hitting people over the head with facts, telling them you're wrong, telling them you're uneducated, that's not going to work. What my co-authors and I in some working research think might be more effective is to make more of an effort to understand where anti-vaxxers are coming from and craft communication efforts that appeal to the sources of their skepticism. So to give you an example, there are folks out there who find vaccines to be kind of disgusting. What we've tried to do in some of our research is to flip that disgust and focus it not on the vaccines, but on the disease. So telling people, we totally understand why it is that you would feel that this is disgusting, but you know what else is disgusting? The measles.
Measles, yeah.
the diseases that we used these methods to eradicate.
Okay, so the advice is listen to what people's concerns are before arguing with them, and if you think someone's an idiot, don't tell them?
It's good advice, really.
I guess. That's it for today's episode of The Signal. Thank you so much for listening. If you are enjoying the podcast, don't forget to rate and review us on iTunes, and we will be back in your feed tomorrow. Bye.
Bye.